all right, we need radical change in America. We need some kind of revolution. But how do you spark a revolution?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I think we all agree that there needs to be radical change that comes to our nation today for a host of reasons. Most all of you listening to this broadcast would agree with me. We need revolutionary changes, not just little by little, maybe over 100 years, something goes in a positive direction, but we need something more radical than that. What's going to spark it? Has it been sparked already? Which direction are we going? Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. On Wednesday, we often focus on the world, on culture, on what's happening in society, but always from a gospel-based perspective. And as I have the joy of meeting many of you, my dear listeners, face-to-face, what always blesses me is how much encouragement and hope and strength and courage you get from the broadcast. We're not afraid to face head on the worst things happening in our society and the real problems in the church, but we do it with our eyes fixed firmly on the Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want to explain to you how I got so burdened with this concept of Jesus' revolution, why I live with it every day of my life, why I'm on the radio to serve as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I want to give you some background to that. I believe it's going to resonate with many of your hearts. But if I asked you, what's it going to take to spark this kind of national movement? What's it going to take to see a real moral and cultural revolution? What would you tell me? I mean, what was it that sparked the American Revolution? I'm not talking about a violent revolution now. Oh, absolutely not. I'm talking about overcoming evil with good. I'm talking about overcoming hatred with love, overcoming lies with truth. I'm talking about a revolution in the life and power of the Spirit, not when we take up arms to fight against the government. But what was it, just for the purpose of analogy, what was it that sparked the American Revolution? What was it that sparked the Civil War? Now, those were violent, terribly violent wars. I'm not talking about that kind of revolution today, but I'm asking questions. What sparked the civil rights movement? What was the breaking point, the turning point? What's it going to take today to really spark revolution? I believe things are happening. I believe changes are at hand. I believe some changes have already taken place, but for the most part, the spiral is in the wrong direction. The decline is what's happening and not the turnaround. What's going to take? What do you think? Your circle, your life, if you look out over America. Now, some of you just don't think it's going to happen. You either in your gut or based on your reading of history or based on your theology, your eschatology, you see things only going down at the end of the age. You think America's ready doomed. That's fine if that's your view. We can talk about that. But even if that is your view, just go with me theoretically. What would it take to spark a real change? I mean, a real change. I mean, a change we could hardly recognize America. What would it take to spark it? Yes, God has to move. We understand that. God has to move. Okay, one other question I want to throw out for you. I was just looking at a quote about Jesus and how he was identified with the Republican Party in someone's mind. If Jesus was here physically today, if he was physically in the flesh with us, like you and I are here, and he was an American citizen, would he be a Republican? Would he be a Democrat? Would he have his own party? Would he have no party affiliation? What do you think? I'm just curious. I don't know that I've asked that question on the air, but I'm just curious. Jesus was physically living here as an American citizen today. Would he be a Republican, a Democrat, have his own party, or have no party affiliation? We'll be right back.
we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. We're talking about one of my favorite themes, revolution. What is revolution? Radical, dramatic, sweeping change. Revolution is out with the old, in with the new. Revolution is replace that which is bad and destructive to that which is positive and life-giving. Oh, often, maybe even for the most part in the world, one revolution replaces a bad thing with something else that's bad. Think communist revolution for one of the most murderous, deadly of all revolutions. But the concept of radical, dramatic, sweeping change is critically important. And in fact, friends, you never know when a revolution might arise. Joey, clip number two. This is CBS News 1971 reporting on a phenomenon that no one saw coming. Clip number two.
Of all the things that have caught on among the young, this is perhaps the most unexpected. A prayer service and baptism by immersion on the Pacific at Santa Monica Beach. In recent years, the more experimental of America's young have gone through Oriental religions and mysticism, long hair and offbeat clothing, drugs and sex. Now, in surprisingly large numbers, they're turning to Jesus.
I believe that was the voice of Mike Wallace. In surprising numbers, no one saw this coming. In fact, pollsters didn't see the counterculture revolution coming. In the 60s, polls done in 1960, 1962 area, they did not see that coming. The radical cultural changes. And those of you who are my age or a little older, you know the same. If you remember the 60s, you weren't there. In other words, it was such a time of decadence and drug use and craziness that you were not thinking clearly through a lot of it, so you wouldn't necessarily remember what happened during it because you were too stoned to remember. But in the midst of that, God intervened. Time magazine, 1966, and there's the cover, Is God Dead? 5 years later, Time magazine, I believe June of 71, picture looks like a hippie Jesus, and there it says, The Jesus Revolution. You know what was happening? Clip number six, this is the voice of Steve Heelner. He was an early hippie Christian, someone early on in the Jesus Revolution, the Jesus People movement. Listen to what he said.
I took my LSD, lay down on the floor a couple of hours, and when I could get together to get up, I got up as a Christian. It's just that simple.
Yeah, obviously, there's more to the story in terms of had he heard the gospel, was he being witnessed to, were people praying for him? But he's just talking about his experience. He gets high on LSD, wakes up, and he's a Christian. Yeah, obviously God's been working in his life and things have been happening, but that's the kind of stuff that God was doing. That's when I got saved, 1971. So here, first my own life story. 866-34-TRUTH. Two questions I put out at the outset, but I want to share a bunch of things with you. I've got some great audio clips to play for you. Number one is this. What's going to take to spark a revolution in our society? What's it going to take to get that awakening, to stir people? Because a lot of people know things are wrong, but to really make change? Look, by God's grace, the last few months I've made a complete radical change in my whole way of living and eating, more radical than anything I've ever done. And by God's grace, it's sustainable and great changes happening in me, and I'm feeling better and better. I was not sick. I was functioning well, you know, the energy that I carry and live with, the intensity of my schedule, but I was getting unhealthier in certain ways, that, you know, putting on more weight, different things that are not healthy, was more tired, but I wasn't at that point where if you don't change now, you're going to die. That's what happens with some of us. By God's grace, by his merciful intervention, I've made radical changes, but normally, radical changes don't come without some kind of radical push. What's it going to take? What would spark a real revolution, a moral, gospel, cultural revolution in our society? And another question I just put out kind of out of curiosity. Out of curiosity. If Jesus was an American citizen living here today, would he be a Republican? Maybe Republican because of the party's strong pro-life stance, strong stance with Israel, strong stance for marriage. Would he be a Democrat? Maybe because with the social justice emphasis of Democrats. Now, I don't think either party lives up to what they claim, and I don't think the Democrats' approach to social justice actually helps bring it, personally. But would he be one of those parties? Would he have no party? Or maybe he'd have his own party and lead a new political movement. What do you imagine? I have my opinion. To me, it's real obvious, but that doesn't mean I'm right. It's just purely speculation. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. My early life, teen years and coming to faith, those years were shaped by revolution. And I'm going to play a clip for you, Joey. It's going to be from my end. And you'll see if you can figure it out. All right? Now, let me play this and see if you can figure out. It's just going to be out of the blue. You're going to be like, what? But just listen for a minute, and then I'll come back and tell you. Ah, all right. If you can figure out what that clip is, you'll want to pry. I'll send you a free book. If you can figure out what that clip was, I'll send you a free book. I'll pick out a nice book for you. If you can tell me what that little music clip that I just played for you was, free book. Uh-huh. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll even get you on the air to take a guess. But when I was 13 years old, I was bar mitzvahed. That was more of a social event because I was not a religious Jew. But the bigger event, the more life-impacting event for me was seeing Jimi Hendrix in concert. Seeing Jimi Hendrix in concert, 1968, 13 years old, at the New York Philharmonic. That was a life-impacting event for me. And then going to rock concerts, and seeing all the big bands of that day, seeing The Doors, seeing Janis Joplin, seeing The Who, Led Zeppelin, 10 years after, Grateful Dead, Jethro Tull. I kind of lived at the Fillmore East and went to concert after concert after concert. And that's what got me into the whole drug culture. That's what opened the door for me to start getting high at the age of 14 and shooting heroin at the age of 15. So I was part of the counterculture revolution, the rebellion, the, quote, sex, drugs, and rock and roll thing. And Matt, if you can find another clip, if you can find another clip from there that may be fun to put on if we don't get any takers, maybe advance it a little bit and find one that sounds good. So the counterculture revolution, yeah, I made my choices. I sinned. I rebelled. All on me. But there was an environment around me that made it more conducive. There are things I touched on that I never would have touched on. There are things I got into I never would have known existed. That was all part of the counterculture revolution that brought tremendous upheaval to our country. The reason that we are celebrating so many of the immoral things that we celebrate, the reason that divorce been so rampant for so many years, the reason that we have an abortion culture still, the reason that we have reality TV shows on teen moms, the reason that we're celebrating polyamory, the reason that there is a gay liberation movement for decades and so on, this all comes out of the 60s, not the civil rights movement, but the sexual revolution, the sexual revolution. Well, then God saved me in 1971, miraculous divine intervention. God turned my heart. I was radically born again. My closest friends, radically born again. And what was that? That was the Jesus Revolution. My life was almost destroyed by the counterculture revolution. My life was saved by the Jesus Revolution. And we must have a fresh revolution in America today. What's going to spark it? 866-34-TRUTH. First, let's get some responses to that audio clip Diane in Wakefield, Massachusetts, what was that you were listening to?
What was I listening to? You were asking about the counter-revolution and asking about what would it take in the culture today.
Okay. No, all right. I thought you wanted to give a response to the music clip, but that's fine. Okay. No, this is more important. Let's start here, then we'll come back right after the break. What do you think it's going to take then to spark things? Or if you had a comment on the political party issue, I'm all ears.
I think it would take courage from the Christian population. I think there's a lot that's going on behind closed doors and in the churches, but no one has the culture, the courage to stand out because of retaliation, loss of jobs, or whatever it would be against them.
All right, just chew on this for a moment, and then I want to come back to you. What's it going to take? What's it going to take to get us to be more courageous? What's going to push us? We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire as we talk about revolution today. I want to go back to Diane in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I agree, Diane, that many Christians, including Christian leaders, need more backbone, need more courage to speak up and to go against the grain and swim against the tide. What do you think is holding, let me ask it the other way. What's going to take to get someone to cross that line? You know, you might be a shy person, but if you see a car swerving on the curve, you'll scream to get somebody to move, to save their lives. What's it going to take to push us out of our comfort zone?
I think it's going to take someone who has leadership qualities. And I think for most of us, we don't know where to start. We don't know where to put our voice. We don't even know how to use our voice. And we're very good when we're sitting in a group to talk about Jesus and the moral right and talk against abortion and what we should do and how we should support that. And we just don't know where to start.
Got it.
I think it's that simple.
Yeah. And listen, when you don't know where to start, if you... brought a car over to me and said it's having problems. I'm not a car mechanic. I'd just look at the thing and I'd look at it the next day and the next day. I wouldn't know what to do. Hopefully we can give guidance in these ways, Diane. My newest book, just finishing now, which will be out sometime next year, on the theme of how to outlast the gay revolution. Well, I'll lay out as many principles as I can that if we live by these principles, we'll outlast whatever is happening in the culture. Hopefully we'll continue to give constructive input onto what people can do. Diane, thank you for the call. If you want to take a stab on that audio clip you listened to and what it was, give you an opportunity to do that. If you get it right, get a free book. Alan in Bealeton, Virginia, what's your take on that audio clip?
Yeah, Dr. Brown, the audio clip was you playing the guitar, but I also wanted to respond to your other question. It's going to take a fiery persecution like the early church went through in order for us to have the same kind of response as they had, which was a total commitment, like the Christians that were also thrown in the lion's den, that kind of thing. Or, I mean, thrown to the lions, not the lion's den, but that kind of persecution.
Got it. Hey, yeah, Alan, first, thank you for the second comment in terms of that's what's going to take to wake us up. Many agree, and I'd hate to see that terrible suffering come to America, to American Christians, but in many ways, I don't know if in the midst of our complacency that we will wake up otherwise. So I'm with you on that, but a great guess, except I'm not a guitar player, but great guess, Alan. Thank you for that. Nathan in Maryland, what was your take on the audio clip?
Well, I do remember the 60s, but
yeah,
because I was born in 1963, I wasn't quite. I kind of lived my 60s experience in the late 70s and early 80s.
Yeah,
and that music sounded very familiar. I'm guessing it might have been Cream.
Cream, which blazed for 2 years and then disbanded in '68, and then did a reunion concert about 9-10 years ago, then Jack Bruce, the bassist, just died. Hey, Nathan, great guess also, but no, it wasn't Cream that you heard. Let's get one more. 866-34-TRUTH. Bill. All right, Bill, I think dropped out because he just thought that it was also me playing guitar. So no, not the case, but great guess, great guess. Let's go to our friend Chaplain Viviana in Brooklyn. What's it going to take for the church to wake up?
Oh, my goodness. there's two ways. Like the brother said, it's either that fiery persecution or that we lay down our agenda, repent for our complacency, draw near to God so we can hear His kingdom agenda, and then surrender and say, God, I'll obey you no matter what. And then the church can walk in its authority given to us by Jesus.
All right. What's it going to take for us to lay down any agendas that we have and to get more desperate?
I believe the Holy Spirit. We have to pray for the Holy Spirit to really bring conviction over the church that that God is the only answer for all of these things that are going on, and telling the church, your compromise is causing the decay of the society, and that, you know, the Holy Spirit moving on us. My brother, I heard today something I didn't even think I could even understand, where California is trying to lower the age of consent for a 14-year-old to have sex with an adult. California is trying to do that. We have Occupy Wall Street that is actively working, and I'd like people to pray about this, that God will restrain that evil, that if the verdict doesn't go well in Ferguson, Missouri, they want to agitate in 21 cities in the nation. This is serious. This is that hour where the church needs to be the church, and we will cause God's hand to either work on our behalf of the nation when he sees the church turning around, or we will see the wrath of God go through the nation because we have not obeyed him.
Right. So what we have to do, and thank you for the input as always, what we have to do is continue to sound a wake-up call. One of the things I do on the radio station, sound a wake-up call to the nation to stir our hearts, to make us aware of the urgency of the hour, to point people to Jesus so that we fall in love with him afresh and that our hearts burn to do the will of God and we return to our first love. Because, friends, the nation will not rise above the people of God. In fact, it is quite the reverse. Thank you for the call. I'm filled with hope. I'm filled with expectation. I'm bursting with it at times, not because of what I see, that's very discouraging, but because of who God is and because of what he is doing, which is wonderfully encouraging. But listen, friends, something has to snap somewhere. The Houston 5 case, something where the rights of believers are trampled on. Something is going to happen that creates a ripple effect. And a spark here, a spark there, a spark there. They're happening already, but it's not anywhere near critical mass yet. And at that point, as we turn to God for revival, for outpouring, for a fresh move of his spirit, repentance in our own lives, moral cultural impact, this nation will be shaken. I believe it with all my heart. I believe that we will see a glorious moral and cultural revolution by the power of the Spirit exalting Jesus. I believe it. That's all I can say. Friends listening, if you're about to lose me on the radio, keep listening by going to Ask Dr. Brown. Our phone lines are jammed. I want to get to every single caller. Keep listening by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. All right? And just click on the banner to keep listening. While you're there, everybody take a moment, go to askdrbrown.org. The special offer has two wonderfully edifying, eye-opening, super practical debates. Problem of Suffering, Calvinism, go there, AskDrBrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire as we talk about revolution, as we talk about what God is doing and what it's going to take to spark a Jesus revolution. Joey, clip number four. First, this is Jim Palisari speaking about the Milwaukee Jesus people, and then Christian music producer Philip Mangano, who is Larry Norman's manager. So this is talking about what God was doing in the Jesus Revolution. Clip number four.
It started on the west coast of the United States around 1967. All of a sudden, these hippies, these dropouts, these many thought the scum of society, were discovering Jesus Christ.
Yes. Okay. Two voices? I don't sound like one there. All right. Anyway, it happened. It happened then. I believe it's going to happen in a massive way among those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. And I don't mean that they're going to keep living like that and going to a gay church. I mean they're going to meet with God and be transformed in so many ways and find liberation and new hope and new life, and it'll be impossible to deny. Yeah, so that was Jim Palisari there that we just heard. 866-34-TRUTH. Before we go back to the question of what it's going to take to spark revolution in America, I want to get one more guest. Michael in Washington, D.C., that audio clip that you heard, what do you think that was?
Yes, hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, I think that was you, but playing the drum.
Yeah, my old band, before we were saved, what happened was we were going through storage and discovered a cassette tape, and it had some little excerpts from old bands. So there we were doing a blues song. We were probably about 15, 16 years old. Sadly, the guitar player, dear friend, very close friend back then, the bass player and I were very close friends for years, just passed away a couple of weeks ago. And so I wanted to make sure we got that, and that we then put it on a CD so we could listen to it. And in fact, if you want to hear something, one other thing, I'll play this from my side, Joey. I'll explain what this is in a second. No, that's the wrong one. Hang on. That's the wrong one. Let's try this. Oh, yeah, that was some crazy drum solo that I was doing on there. Hey, listen, Michael, is there one book in particular that you've really been wanting to get?
Yes, the book, I think it's called Our Hands Are Stained in Blood.
All right, Michael, stay right there. Betsy is going to get your info, and I'm going to send you a free copy of Our Hands Are Stained with Blood. Let's go to Daisy in Manhattan. All right, talk to me about revolution. What's it going to take?
It's about if King Jesus was here.
Please. What party would he be in? Yeah, go ahead. Or would he be?
He wouldn't be either parties, because he would be reigning, King of kings and Lords of lords.
Uh-huh.
Because
well,
when
certainly,
he was here, he said his kingdom wasn't of this world.
Okay. Got it.
Amen.
All clear. Yeah, when he returns, Daisy, he is going to be ruling and reigning. Absolutely no question about that. 866-34-TRUTH. Tell you what, we got a break coming up. So stay right there. And John and Boston, you're next. Then we'll go to Bob and to Richard and to others. So stay right there. We'll get your calls on the other side of the break. As we talk about revolution, I haven't even told you what got me so focused on this about 15 years ago. I'll do that. I want to get your calls first.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I was always putting down Jesus and saying that they probably had it all screwed up or anything, but I never actually read the New Testament, you know. So I did, and I really liked Jesus, but he was so different than I thought he was. It was a complete surprise to me. He was so cool. I mean, I would have thought from what I had heard around from Christian people that he was a sergeant in the Marine Corps. You know, it was, you know, or at least a Republican, you know.
That was the voice of Ted Wise, an early hippie Christian, one of the early forerunners in the Jesus People movement, the Jesus Revolution, and part of what happened when I got saved in 1971. Well, I had no idea it was part of a larger movement. 866-34-TRUTH. What's going to take to spark revolution? Jesus was physically here. Would he be part of a political party? Just a couple of questions we've put out for you. John in Boston, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
I think we've talked a little bit about that, what it's going to take. I think we're going to be ready for what it's really going to take, but I think confrontation is what it's really going to take for us to stand. And we're not ready to compromise.
Yeah, so what's what is it that's going to push us? We lost John there. All right, we'll stay in Massachusetts. Bob in Chelsea, Massachusetts, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for your program and well, I know the persecution, that what's been said so far has been, I think, exactly right on. There has to be a humbling. In Second Chronicles, the people must be humbled. There's too much. We must be humbled, and God's going to allow the humbling through chastisement. But the one thing I think that may be needed here is that a lot of times, and I'm speaking generally now, there's a lot of leaders who want to be more positive, and I think that's wonderful. But I think they just got to realize when you read the Old Testament, you realize how God worked with Israel. There was a lot of negative things that he said and allowed. And I think, you know, I think it's wonderful to be optimistic, but I think too many people just don't want to be realistic. We're in serious trouble here, way more than we even want to think. And I think part of the problem is people just want to hear more positive things. And I'm talking about leaders, church. I'm not talking about
yep.
the general populace. And
as long I understand
as
you.
They want to hear that kind of message, they are not going to take it seriously. This is very serious. I've been going on the streets for 35 years with preaching the gospel. And I'm just saying is that this is way more serious than people want to believe. And
I let's think of this for a minute. I was just mentioning getting in better shape, radically changing my diet, losing weight, etc. And let's just say I went to the doctor, and I'm just about 6'3". Let's just say I weigh 250 pounds, but I worked out a lot and so I've been obviously overweight. And the doctor said everything's good. I mean, your blood pressure's a little high, cholesterol's a little high, but good. You know, I mean, you're fine. Obviously, your body has a high tolerance to chocolate and pizza, and you know, so you're fine. And then my wife says, hey, hon, look, you know, have a little, I don't mind a little flab on you. That's okay. You know, I didn't marry you for looks. And yeah. And then I go out and preach. People say, hey, Mike, you're looking good. You're looking good. Well, it's going to be a lot harder in that environment for me to take seriously. No, you're overweight. You got to do something about it. It's not healthy. And your cholesterol needs to be better. Your blood pressure needs to be better. So when all we hear is the feel-good pop talk message and just God's here to help me fulfill my goals and make me happy, how is that going to spark a revolution? How is that going to spark an awakening? You know, you have like sports franchises that are perennial losers, and they just get used to like we always lose, and until someone comes around and says we are not going to put up with this. So yeah, the lethargy, the complacency, what I call the pep talk gospel, leads in the exact opposite direction from sparking revolution. Right. One last question for you real quick, Bob.
Yeah.
Why do you say things are in worse shape than we realize? It's more serious than we realize.
Well,
why do you say that?
First of all, by the kind of government we have, and our president reflects a reflection. And I understand that that's the general populace. I understand that. But I, from my understanding, 90% of black people voted the second time for Obama. And there's a lot of black Christians, and there's no excuse for that. Anybody that's hit what he stands for and his whole reputation, I believe it's serious trouble when leaders and people don't expose this and people don't know it, there's something drastically wrong. The second time around, people should have known who this man really is. And a reflection of our government is absolutely travesty to have all this abortion, homosexual, all the rest of this stuff that's totally antichrist is a reflection of our people in this country. And God's showing this, he's showing us, this is a reflection of you. This is what you think this country is like, and it's horrible.
Yeah, Bob, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate that. 866-34-TRUTH. Keep lifting up Jesus, Bob, and be strong. Let me say this, and then I'm going back to the phones. You get used to things. You get desensitized. I remember for a period of years, I saw nothing violent, not violent sports, not boxing, not mixed martial arts, which would have been newer at that time, not violent movies. And when I saw a violent scene or something from a violent sport, it almost turned my stomach. Well, I've seen more stuff over the years, gotten used to things and become desensitized. And you have to think, wait, what is this? What is this? And you step back and you spend more time reflecting before God and sensitivity returns. When you begin to think of things in our culture today, a bunch of new shows and everything takes place in the nude, and it's just on TV. It's not like the Playboy Channel or such thing exists, whatever those things are. And yeah, you may have things blurred out, but what? And then for years now, we've had reality TV shows about teen moms. And think of this. You want to get famous, you put out a sex tape. I mean, just think of the level of sexual anarchy in our culture. If you put out a sex tape to get famous. If someone had what they did in private, secretly videotaped, and then broadcast publicly years ago, they would have been afraid to show their face in public. They would have changed their appearance or moved to another country. Now it's how you get famous. We become desensitized. The awakening, friends, always has to start with us. Let's go to Richard in Washington, D.C. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Real quick, I did 24 years in the Army. The last 14 years, I started youth groups for high school and junior high kids and posted youth groups didn't exist. And I spent about a month of every year on apologetics, you know, through science and through archaeological evidence and so on and so forth. I wanted these kids to know that it was real. And the take I gave them was, if I came to you and said you need to breathe oxygen to live, you wouldn't question that because it's fact. And Jesus is fact, and he is the only way. So you don't question Jesus because of the evidence, because of the fact that he is fact, like you don't question oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason that we're not in a revolution is because we don't really believe he's the only way, or we wouldn't question it.
Why don't we believe he's the only way?
Because the world puts out, you're intolerant if you don't accept Muslims' religion and Buddhist religion, and we accept that. The world puts out, there are other ways to happiness, and we accept that. We don't believe the word of God for whatever reason, I don't know. But when the Bible says, if you do this, that will happen, God doesn't lie. But we, for some reason, brush it over like, God didn't really mean that. No, he meant it.
Right. So if we took the exclusivity of the gospel, the fact that there is no other way to God except through Jesus, the fact that people are lost, the fact that God's wrath is going to be poured out on a sinning world, the fact that Jesus died to save all and that we are here to make disciples, that would revolutionize our mindset. That would revolutionize our way of thinking. That would put an urgency in us. That would put a vision in us. And through that, we would go out and spark gospel revolution in the culture. In other words, Jesus changes us, and we go and change our world. Hey, Richard, thanks for weighing in. Instead, we'd rather be accepted. We'd rather that people like us. We're not at that place of holy desperation. Because, see, here's how a revolutionary thinks. Life as it is not worth living, but the cause is worth dying for. That's how a revolutionary thinks. Life as it is not worth living, but the cause is worth dying for. Now, I'm not talking about suicide bombers here, and I'm not talking about violent revolution in our lives. I'm talking about a mindset. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are going straight back to the calls on The Line of Fire, your listener-sponsored voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us as we talk about gospel-based revolution, moral cultural revolution, not going out killing people, blowing people up, not intimidating people, but seeing cultural transformation through the gospel. I believe that God is working in our midst to produce this and that we will see a national movement. I don't mean affiliated with any particular denomination or group, but just like there was a civil rights movement, I believe there is going to be a moral and cultural revolution in America. How far it will go, what the ultimate effects will be, I don't know, but I believe there is going to be a radical pushback about where we are today. What's it going to take to get more people involved? What's it going to take to spark that? That's the question. We go to Jana in Northern Virginia. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi. Good afternoon. I've been listening to the program, and I find it just so important. I just keep going back to the Bible, and I was recently reading one of the prophets, I think it might have been Isaiah, where the Lord says, "You're doing this. You're in rebellion. You have idolatry, but still my arm is outstretched to you. Repent and return to me." And over, he would do this. He would say this. He would address the gross sin of the nation of Israel. And I believe that's where we are. And I keep praying, "Lord, I pray your arm is still outstretched to us." But there comes a point when the Lord says, "My arm is no longer outstretched to you, and I don't want your prayers. I don't want your sacrifices. I don't want your religion. I want nothing more, and judgment is coming." And I keep praying we have not reached that point, but I believe with all my heart it's coming fairly close. So what would it take? Well, I will tell you where I put the blame for this immoral condition of our nation, squarely at the foot of the church, at the pulpit of this nation. I have watched every single, with almost without exception, leader, church pastor, walk away from the obligation to say what is wicked and come against it. I hear over and over again, that's not what we're about, and I'm talking about everything from evangelical megachurches to denominational churches. We are witnessing and discipling. That's what we're about, saving one soul at a time, turning people to Jesus, which is fine. That is our job as Christians, to be disciples to Christ and to witness and to get others into the kingdom of God. I do not diminish the importance of that. But just how long do you think you will have the right if you will not take a stand against wickedness? And that is what has happened. That's why we got all of these horrible laws that offend God and the sensibilities of any righteous person or Christian.
So as you read Scripture, then, what is clear to you is that we have lived in a certain way. We have refused mercy. We have scorned grace. We have heaped up judgment on ourselves, and therefore there has to be great shaking. And obviously we pray, you know, the great prayer of Habakkuk in Habakkuk 3:2, "In wrath, remember mercy." But we need to pray with some fear and trembling, Jana. We do. We can't just have a casual prayer meeting. Our nation is in a very perilous state, and we need divine intervention and awakening beginning in the church. Thank you for calling. Thank you for the sober words. We go to Bayonne, New Jersey. Marie, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Yes, hi, how you doing? I think I have an important issue to discuss about. I think it would be good is to bring prayer back to schools, you know. I think that would really help. I know we have a lot of various religions, but one of the biggest problems is that here in the United States, especially here in New Jersey, is that we have a lot of different religions. But I really believe that I would like to try to do something with that, you know, to go to the state level to see if we could bring back prayer in school. I think it's so important.
Now, the way it used to be, it was not in every school around America, but when it was there commonly, it was a 22-word prayer. It was a generic prayer to God. So anyone theoretically that believed in God could pray. If you were an atheist or just didn't want to participate, you didn't have to participate. Of course, today's culture, you could have 1,000 students who want to do it and one student who doesn't, and that student goes to court and the school kicks it out. Why do you feel that would be so important? Because it's going to be people from different religions and different backgrounds.
I have two daughters, 18 and 15, and I try to instill, you know, Christian beliefs in them. And, you know, one goes to a Catholic university and one goes to a public high school. I just believe that kids are really confused nowadays about so many different things. I mean, they hear so many mixed messages, even if you're, you know, trying to, you know, teach them, raise them with Christian values, they still get out and get, you know, they hang out with their friends or whatever. And, you know, they do different things and they learn different things. And I just think that prayer reaches everybody on a universal level, even though we would want them to pray in Jesus' name. I don't know if we can actually, you know, do that. Here in New Jersey, we have a lot
That wouldn't happen, but the possibility, Marie, of just trying to get prayer back in school. Now, it'd be a massive battle. It would take divine intervention even for that to happen. It'd be a massive, massive battle. However, even to raise the issue again, to raise the issue about God consciousness, to look has been documented by a number of people, to look at what's happened when prayer was taken out and the subsequent decline that came in the culture in so many ways. Hey, listen, even to raise the consciousness is something of importance, and you're going to have the battle about separation of church and state and all that. I understand, but thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Friends, I believe several things are happening and will happen, and perhaps in the next hour. So if you're not catching it on radio, you can catch it on my website later, askdrbrown.org. I'll talk about how this theme of revolution, of Jesus revolution, became so important to me beginning about 15 years ago. But I do believe that people are waking up more and more to the real attacks on freedom of religion and speech and conscience in America. I believe more and more people are recognizing how the pep talk gospel has softened the church and hurt us in so many ways. I believe more and more people are recognizing the various cultural and social attacks, be it from the unbelief coming through social media, be it through radical sexual revolution, which continues to unfold. The bullying is backfiring. I believe little by little people are waking up and saying, hey, something has to change. And you see, revolution will happen when we get to that point of enough is enough. Revolution will happen when we get to that point of enough is enough. When we get to that breaking point, we decide we can no longer live the way we're living. And at the very least, even if you're almost oblivious to what's happening in the culture around you, as we get reignited in our personal walks with God, as we get reignited in our relationship with God, as we get reignited with spiritual hunger and thirst, as we press into Jesus more deeply, that will spark change in us. And out of that change in us, change will come into the lives of others. Remember, the simplest formula for revolution: Jesus changes us, and we go change the world in the life and power of the Spirit. Take advantage of today's special offer. Go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. AskDrBrown.org. Right on the homepage, there's a little video you can watch, about a 2-minute video. We'll tell you about the special resources at a reduced price. It will be a great blessing to you this week. My bottom line: revolutions come when people come to the breaking point and say enough is enough. We get hungry and thirsty enough for God and fed up enough with what's happening in the world around us, there will be a moral and cultural revolution. All right, we need radical change in America. We need some kind of revolution. But how do you spark a revolution?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to The Line of Fire, your voice of moral and cultural and spiritual revolution. We're talking about revolution today. We're talking about how revolution happens in society. And I want to tell you in a moment why this theme burns in me so brightly. I want to say at the outset, though, I am encouraged. You say, well, Mike, you're always encouraged. Yes, but I am encouraged because Jesus is Lord and he's risen from the dead. And that is a fact that remains unassailable. Now, some people don't believe it, but I'm saying it's unassailable regardless of whether people believe it or not. And because he is Lord, because he rules and reigns, because he is king, therefore I have constant hope. Therefore, I have constant encouragement. Therefore, because God is king, I live with hope, with expectation, with fervor, with faith. Yes, you look around at society and it can be very discouraging. Sometimes you look around at the church and it can be discouraging. It depends on what you look at. But when you look at the Lord, when you gaze on him, when you spend time with his presence, it brings encouragement and faith and hope and joy and peace and love. How can it be other than that? How can we lose hope when our eyes are fixed on him? I said the other day, we posted it on social media, my focus is on a great big God, not a big bad devil. So we talk about what's happening in society to awaken us. We talk about what's happening in society to stir us. We talk about what's happening in society to bring us to a place of holy action and holy desperation and prayer and seeking the face of God and taking stands. We do this because we have a moral responsibility to our generation. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Jesus said in Matthew 6, if the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So that was talking on a personal level, but on a social level as well. That same question can be asked. If the church, which is the light, is dark, how dark is it? So I'm encouraged. I believe, friends, as surely as there was a civil rights movement in America, that there is going to be a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution in America. I believe that. I can't prove it to you, I can't guarantee you, but I believe that. To the core of my being, I believe. It's one reason I'm on the air. It's one reason I write what I write and teach what I teach and preach what I preach. But what's going to spark it? Oh yeah, things are happening. Things are beginning in different places. There's been a stirring in different circles for some years now. But what's really going to spark that holy explosion? I've got some shocking audio clips I'm going to play for you. Momentarily, I want to go to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to talk to you about what it's going to take to spark a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution in America. We're not talking about a revolution of violence or hatred or intimidation. Quite the contrary, we're talking about a Jesus revolution that overcomes hatred with love, that overcomes evil with good, that overcomes violence with the Spirit of God, that overcomes lies with truth. And it's going to come through you and me, friends. It's going to come through those who say, God, here I am. Send me, use me. Through moms, through dads, through singles, through couples, through church leaders, through people in the business world, and people in the sciences and the arts and the media and education. It's going to come through young and old. It's going to come through God working through yielded human vessels. What's going to spark it? What's going to spark it? What's going to make it happen on a level far beyond what we're seeing? That's what we're going to talk about. I've got some words of encouragement and some eye-opening things I want to share with you, along with some of my own history here. When we come right back on The Line of Fire, the first voice you're going to hear when we come back is that of Dan Savage.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to rethink love and commitment, put monogamous sexual commitment at the heart of all relationships, all long-term commitments, all marriages. And we have watched, we should now be able to recognize the consequences of that, which are a lot of short-term relationships, a lot of divorce, because monogamy is ridiculous and people aren't any good at it. We're not wired for it. We didn't evolve to be. It's not natural. And it places a tremendous strain on our marriages.
That was the voice of Dan Savage. As we talk about moral and cultural revolution, what it's going to take to spark a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution, 866-34-TRUTH, you can weigh in. You can tell me what you think is going to wake up the Church of America, what's going to push people out of their comfort zone. Look, people don't go jumping out of second-story windows when all is well, but when the building's on fire, they do. They do things they wouldn't normally do. We're not talking about ugly things that people do. We're talking about godly things that we need to be provoked and prompted to do. What's it going to take? I mean, a lot of the church is still slumbering. In 1990, I wrote the book, How Saved Are We? And said the church doesn't need a great awakening, it needs a rude awakening. I asked the question, have we fallen asleep in the enemy's lap? And these are questions that remain relevant in certain ways, even all the more relevant in 2014 as we come to the end of the year. 866-34-TRUTH. You say, okay, I don't understand that Dan Savage quote. One more clip that I'm going to the phones and I'll fill you in a little bit more. Clip number 14, Dan Savage, BigThink.com. This is 2011. He's a well-known gay activist and sex columnist. He's the founder of the It Gets Better campaign. He and his partner, quote, his husband, a few years ago, they said that they had had at least sex with at least nine other people they weren't married to. Brought him in as threesomes and things like that. That was a few years ago. This is what he's advocating. I'll explain why I'm playing these clips for you. Number 14.
Because of these misconceptions pumped into people's heads about romance, love, what it means. And so they meet somebody else that they're attracted to, and they're attracted to this other person. They go, well, I must not be in love with my partner anymore, otherwise I wouldn't be attracted to this person. Or they feel threatened when their partners are attracted to other people, as if, you know, it makes them feel insecure. And we just need to get past that. So I do think there needs to be some leeway. And a lot of really good, loving relationships are destroyed because somebody wants a little variety or isn't getting a need met and feels they have to step out, and it explodes the relationship. I'm conservative. I think that we should do what we can to preserve marriages and long-term relationships. And one way to do that is to encourage people to have more realistic attitudes about sexual exclusivity.
Yeah, you know, in other words, just get rid of this monogamous concept, have open marriages, swingers, different partners, and you'll have more long-lasting relationships. Friends, this is sexual anarchy. Now you say, I still don't get the point. All right, let me explain. The more marriage is trashed, redefined, the more monogamy is redefined, the more sexual anarchy we see around us, we're going to start to realize that this whole issue of redefining marriage is bigger than we realize. This whole issue of redefining marriage is part and parcel of larger sexual anarchy. Here, if you got little kids with you, just give me 30 seconds. Talk to them for 30 seconds while I mention this, okay? LifeSite News reported this. Fifth grade students in Chicago, ages 10 and 11, with a new sex ed program would be taught how to use female condoms and lube for both vaginal and anal sex with an emphasis on longer lasting intercourse and enhanced sexual pleasure. 10 and 11-year-olds. I'm embarrassed reading that over the radio. 10 and 11-year-olds. Parents were brought in to be introduced to the new curriculum. It is sexual anarchy. It's one of the points that I am making. It is one of the points I've been making for a while, that there is larger cultural degeneration. People want to be tolerant. They want to be accepting. Do they want sexual anarchy? One more clip, and then to the phones. The Sydney Writers Festival, Sydney, Australia, in June of 2012. And different speakers there were Professor Dennis Altman, writer and academic, Jeanette Winterson, British author, Benjamin Law, Brisbane-based writer and comedian, and Masha Gessen, who's a Russian-American journalist and editor of the Russian language Snob magazine, and herself, a lesbian. Clip number 15, all right? I just want you to hear what she had to say at this writer's festival.
I mean, I agree. It's a no-brainer that that we should have the right to marry. But I also think equally that it's a no-brainer that the institution of marriage should not exist. So that...
Notice the response.
That causes my brain some trouble. And part of it, why it causes me trouble, is because fighting for gay marriage generally involves lying about what we're going to do with marriage when we get there. You know, because we lie that the institution of marriage is not going to change. And that is a lie. The institution of marriage is going to change, and it should change. And again, I don't think it should exist.
Uh-huh. Wake up, friends. This is not just a matter of, well, what are two men or two women? They're nice. Why shouldn't they be able to marry? It seems mean and cruel and bigoted and homophobic to say they shouldn't. It's not just that. It is making marriage meaningless. When you radically redefine it, it becomes meaningless. If I'm talking to you right now and saying that I get in my car to drive to teach tonight for a local class, when I get in my car that it's actually a rocket ship, and when I arrive at the church, it's actually a mosque, and when I go to have salad tonight, I'm having ice cream. If all words just take on new meanings, and everything around us is affected by it. We must wake up to reality. We need a moral and cultural revolution. What's going to take for us to recognize that? That's why I raise my voice, friends, on the radio 5 days a week, 2 hours a day across America and by internet around the world. We go to Rock Hill, South Carolina. Matthew, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
I just turned on the radio, and first thing I heard was you talking about revolution, and I don't know, that's something I've kind of been thinking about over the past few weeks, not just as far as, you know, I don't know how to explain it. I see what's going on in our nation. I see, you know, the homosexual agenda being pushed through the media, through TV and movies and everything else. You know, obviously what's going on with all the courts allowing gay marriage. I see what's happening with... Muslim, I guess, agenda being taught, or, you know, it being introduced to children, everything else. And it's I'm deeply concerned with what is happening with our nation. And I guess revolution is as good a term as any, but it's something I've been trying to figure out. How can I get involved to start getting people in my church to start seeing what's happening and do something? Because it seems like we've just been, as a church, as Christians, we've kind of just been sitting by the side for decades as things are changing, and things are changing, and we're not doing anything about it. And I'm really concerned with what's happening with our culture and our nation and our church.
All right. So in your environment, Matthew, in the church world that you are in, is it that people are oblivious to what's happening in the culture, or they're desensitized, or they just think, well, we're going to heaven, it doesn't really matter? What do you face?
I don't even know if people are really even recognizing what's happening or you know, discussing it. A lot of people, I mean, are just, you know, happy with their day-to-day lives, go to work, go home, spend time with your children, you know, spend time in the Word. But I don't feel, at least in my church, that we're doing things to actually start saying, hey, you know, our nation is changing, our culture is changing, what is being pushed on our children, and, you know, through the media, you know, it needs to stop or it needs to be changed. And I don't know if the word is activist or not, but I mean, I'm thinking about something, some way that I can be involved to help stem the tide of what's happening in our culture.
Yeah. Well, Matthew, as you're able to listen to the radio show, encourage others to listen. If you send them to our website, every week we're putting out three new articles on key issues. We're putting out new radio. So it's day and night, free resources that if people just get plugged in, if they start, they connect with me on social media, every time there's a new article, a new video, they'll know it, they'll hear about it, they'll begin to get stirred. And then the biggest thing you can do, Matthew, is get so full of the Lord, get so close to Him, get burning so brightly that others will want what you have. I don't mean putting on a show, but I mean as you really connect with Him more deeply, that the fire will burn in you and it's contagious. People want what you have. But yes, we need that awakening. Thank you, Matthew. I appreciate it.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to remind you that in the early 60s, pollsters said, oh, this is going to be a great generation. Oh, looking at young people today, they honor authority. They're going to be great people to employ, to work with. They don't seem to have a lot of goals and ambition, but going to be great. Who knew that in a few years we would be in massive cultural upheaval, the counterculture revolution, sex, drugs, rock and roll, Eastern religion? Who knew that within a few years we'd have the terrible upheaval of the assassination of President Kennedy, then 5 years later, assassination of Martin Luther King and assassination of Robert F. Kennedy, and the massive turmoil caused by the Vietnam War? Who knew the cultural changes that would come just with the Beatles coming to America in 64 and the British invasion, as it was called, and the folk music turning into rock music? And so who knew? Who knew what was coming? Who knew that by 69 we'd have Woodstock, we'd have Stonewall riots? Who knew the radical feminism that was rising? In the midst of it, the positive, the civil rights movement, massive upheaval. But in the midst of it, God reached out, 866-34-TRUTH. In the midst of what looked like, you know, just massive end of the world, it's all coming up, it's all over, look at what, it's all over. Instead, yeah, oh, there's massive cultural decline, we experience it to this day. But God began to move. Clip number 7, this is Lonnie Frisbee. He was greatly used by God. He also had some very conspicuous weaknesses and failings. And yet God used him in the Jesus People movement. He's on Catherine Coleman's show. And listen to what he says is happening. God began doing this late 60s, early 70s.
And the church for so long has been expecting a certain mold of what a Christian should look like or what a Christian should be or what a Christian should say. And God is blowing everybody's mind because he's saving the hippies.
Yeah, like me. I'm one of them. And by the way, as we talk about the 60s and what happened there, now you are not allowed to guess if you were listening to the first hour, okay? But I'm going to play a clip for you, and I want you to identify that clip. Tell me who you think it is or why it is that I'm playing this clip. And I'll come back to it in a little while, and we're going to go to the phones. Let's listen. All right, hang on. We just got stalled in playing this clip. I'm not sure what happened. Let's see if we can get this going here. What is that clip? You guess what it is, I'll give you a free book. If you can guess what that clip was. 866-34-TRUTH. What's going to take to wake people up? What's going to take to spark revolution? We go to Richmond, Virginia. Fred, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Brown. I heard your comment on this revolution, and I think we definitely need to take a stand for what is right, but don't run around always taking the stand just because we're right, you know.
and of course to pursue and encourage, you know, as we should as believers. But I also think that a lot of believers, they want to avoid persecution at all costs. And I think whether we really know it or not, I believe persecution will probably ignite a spark in God's people. I don't know what you think, but
Oh yeah. I mean, obviously sometimes persecution can be devastating and it can be terribly destructive, and you know, believers flee from an area, the area gets decimated, or they go underground. But normally, when you look at what actually happens, awakening comes with it. People too get stirred, Fred. One of our missionaries working in northern Iraq, with ISIS attacking, with the civil war in Syria, with refugees pouring in, they're finding people wide open to the gospel that weren't before. They're finding nominal Christians who want to get serious with God. They're having a prayer movement birthed, and on. Caller suggested the same thing. Persecution is going to wake us up. It's also going to separate sheep from goats. It's going to separate those who are serious from those who are not. You're right. Look, I don't pray for persecution. I pray for awakening. I don't pray for persecution. But it may take persecution to wake us up. And I believe, thank you, Fred, that even some of the secular bullying or bullying coming our way from other parts of society that is threatening our freedom of speech, religion, and conscience, that God is using that to begin to wake us up as the bullying is backfiring. Let's go to Raleigh, North Carolina. Eugene, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. Are you aware that in Disney movies they have put sexual explicit material in their movies that are aimed at children?
Well, I do know, for example, on the Disney Channel that you have a comedy series that now features a same-sex couple, two women.
No. I'm talking about children's movies, even the older ones back in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, well, give me an example of what you're speaking of.
Well, there's nudity and, you know, there's sexually explicit material. All you have to do is Google it and you can see it for yourself.
Got it. Oh, listen, I mean, there's you can go back cartoons for generations and there would be innuendos that only the adults would get. And then it becomes more overt in different ways. But what you're saying, though, is that the degeneration is broad enough that the sexual deviation, that sexual anarchy is much more widespread in our culture than we might even realize.
Well, you were asking just a second ago, you know, who knew? Who knew all this stuff was going to come? Who knew all this stuff was going to take place? Well, I can tell you who knew. It's the people that put it in place. It's the people that run the system.
No, Eugene, I was asking who right, got it. So you're saying, I just want to make sure I'm clear. You're saying that the people that were influencing things, even in the late 50s and early 60s in the media, that they knew that we were going down the way of sexual revolution because they helped plant this thing in movies, in the media, that rather than reflecting the culture, they influenced the culture. That would be your point.
Well, let me just say this, that the inner workings of the temple, the body, this holy place, this creation that we're in. Now, the temple is the temple. It's the temple of the living God. And everyone has one. And the mere fact that the institutions do not teach, and I'm talking educational institutions, the church institutions, none of them teach what's inside the body and how to turn it on. And as Jesus said unto them, woe unto you who shut the kingdom of heaven up to these little ones. Your day is coming.
Just got to jump in, Eugene. I got a break here. It troubles me when you say no one is teaching and you want to pronounce woes on the church. That's troubling. But do we need to wake up? Does it need to be stirring? Are we too desensitized? Oh, absolutely, to all those things. Thank you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nation.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And I played an audio clip a few minutes back. I asked if you could guess who it was or why I was playing it, that I'd send your free book. Only if you didn't listen in the first hour, because I did the same thing in the first hour. Took a few callers before we got it. Before I go back to the phones on the larger topic of revolution, let's talk about this audio clip. 866-348-7884. Christina in Matthews, North Carolina, why do you think I played that clip, or who was it?
I think the clip was Jimi Hendrix, is my guess.
All right, we had a guest for Cream in the first hour, and Jimi Hendrix. No, thanks for the guest. That was culturally relevant in my life because I saw him in concert twice, and that was very impacting for me in a negative way, part of the whole rock drug culture. But thank you for the guest, Christina. I appreciate it. All right,
no
worth
problem.
A stab. All right, worth a stab for a free book. Did you hear the clip? All right, let me just play it one more time, and you can tell me who it is and why I happen to be playing it. I got to play this on my side because we didn't send this to Joey, so hopefully we'll get it right this time. All right, so who was that? Why am I playing it on the air? 866-34-TRUTH. And another subject that I'll come to in a little while, why revolution is such a consuming subject to me in Jesus, under God, but why that's such a consuming subject. We go to York, South Carolina. Holly, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
I think that the revolution may need to begin with the women.
Let me hear.
The Christian women, because I don't think it was by any accident that, you know, in the day and time of the way women were held, when Jesus walked the earth, the woman was the first person that he revealed his resurrected self to. I don't think that's any accident whatsoever. And if we look at this sexual anarchy through our human eyes, we see a railing against the natural gender roles and the sexualization of children. But if we look at it through our spiritual eyes, what I see is a race to eliminate as much innocence as we possibly can. Because if we sexualize these children at a very, very young age, we as adults, we know that we increase the rate of the age of accountability. And we create generations of people who feel guilty and ashamed. And they meet the person of their dreams, but there's this huge elephant in the room that they have to admit things that they've done before they take their matrimonial vows to God in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So through spiritual eyes, it's much more sinister as to what you're considering to be sexual anarchy.
Right, right.
With the abortion industry, the sexualization of our children, and the promotion of homosexuality.
All right, so Holly,
our young people.
Holly, how do the women help spark this?
If somehow Christians could help the women help our mothers understand exactly, because I'm the mother of a grown son, and growing up without brothers, you could have never convinced me that those teenage boys in high school were going to feel guilty for what they were trying to entice me to do.
Mm.
But now that I'm the mother of a grown son, I know how guilty those boys feel when they act on their hormonal impulses. I know what kind of negative effects it actually has on them in their adult life from having premarital sex of any kind.
Yeah.
And yet if there was some way we could just communicate that to our mothers and get moms out there.
Mm. Yeah, and Holly, I just got to jump in. We got to break. Obviously, there have been mother leadership movements, different things. I'll comment when we come back. Thank you.
Fire we want, for fire we please. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, before I field your many calls about that audio clip, I'll do that in a moment. I just want to add to what Holly from South Carolina was saying. Moms in the homes, you play such a massively important role. See yourselves as counterculture revolutionaries. See yourselves as those who are going against the grain and swimming against the tide. I know you do already, but I want to encourage you to do it even more so. And that you're raising up a generation of world changers. And you want to inundate your kids with so much truth and so much connection with God. You say, man, it's hard and there's so much competition. Oh, yeah, I know, but your prayers make a massive difference. Can I tell you what I saw for years in Pensacola, Florida, in the midst of the Brownsville revival? Week after week, every Friday night, we'd have water baptisms. There'd be 20 or 30 people who'd be baptized. As long as their testimony directly tied in with getting right with God through the revival, they could testify. And I can't tell you how many men I heard testify, big men, strong men, former criminals, every background. I was running from God for years, but Mama kept praying and break down and cry. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I heard that. Your prayers, the unique connection you have to kids, the kids that you're raising, the time you spend with them, if you think we've got to raise up a generation of world changers. And on average, followers of Jesus are going to have more children than those who are pro-abortion. And obviously, homosexual couples bringing a child into the world is going to be a more difficult and expensive process. So our families should be the biggest families. And as we celebrate life and welcome kids into the world and have a culture of adoption as well, adopting those in need more and more and more, we are going to raise up more and more world changers. I also want to encourage you to cast off the junk that society wants to put on you as a woman, just as a sexual object. I mean, it's just so absurd, all the junk out. You got to look like this and all the nude stuff. It's just, it's crazy. You need to just say, hey, the beauty God's given me is not one of flaunting flesh. The beauty that God's given me is not one of making myself a sexual object. What makes me attractive is God working in my life and me having a beautiful modesty. And as dads, you inculcate in your daughters a sense of appreciation and esteem and beauty, not because they dress like the world, but because they're your wonderful daughters that will go a long way to building security in them. All right, somebody, I know somebody's going to get this right. In terms of the audio clip that I just played, Kendall in Charlotte, North Carolina, what's your guess, sir?
I'm going to go with you. That's an audio clip of you.
All right. Now, when you said me, what was I
That's
playing?
That's your band.
All right. The phone lines are all lit up, but you have put the lights out early at the party. So Betty Lou, Stephen, Mark, Wayne, sorry, we've got a winner. Yeah, that was... We were probably 15, 16 years old. We were doing this slow blues song and somehow was able to preserve that. And what happened, Kendall, a couple months back, I was cleaning out a storage unit with my team. They wanted me to look through things, and I was clearing that out and discovered this cassette tape that had some clips from old bands. So we sent it out to get it put on a CD, and there it is. Sadly, the guitar player, who was just in his early 60s, not quite 61, he's a little over a year older than me, I'm almost 60, he passed away. And I told our guys, I really want to get that just to remember our old friend there. But we all got saved together, the bass player, the guitar player, and then me. And... But we were all of the counterculture revolution and then the Jesus revolution. Sadly, the bass player has been away from the Lord for many years, but we just renewed contact with the loss of our friend. So praying for him to return. Hey, Kendall, is there one book in particular of mine that you've been wanting to get?
Well, actually, I listen to your show every day, so anything that you said is going to be helpful.
All right. Tell you what. The question of can you be gay and Christian, is that of interest to you?
That's fine. That's great.
All right, that's my newest. All right, Kendall, thank you for the call. You nailed it, buddy. And we'll send you the book. Stay there for a minute. Betsy will get your info. All right, so just since we're playing these clips, I'll play one more clip for you, and let's see if we can get this queued up right. Yeah, that was the end of a drum solo I was doing. Yeah, hey, I was like 15 years old with the double bass there. But we just got those in, put on a CD from the cassette tape a couple of days ago. Hey, Joey, you say it sounds like your seven-year-old. I'll have a drum battle with your seven-year-old. All right, I'll bring my sticks in one day. You have them. You record them on video, and I'll record me on video. All right. Yeah, but over the air probably sound a little shoddy there. But it was pretty good double bass drum solo in the old days. All right. So why am I talking about revolution? Why have I written about it? Why is it so consuming? Well, God's put it in my heart. God's put a vision for moral and cultural revolution in my heart, gospel based. You say, well, if you do that, that's going to take you away from the Great Commission. Oh, actually not. So far this year, I've ministered, about to minister in India and then Malaysia. And right before that, Hungary, right before that, Singapore, and of course in Israel. And then earlier in the year, a couple more countries. Now, I wasn't just evangelizing, but my heart beats for the nations. More importantly, our ministry school is raising up, sending out missionaries around the world. And just had a meeting with folks in a church planting movement in Israel, another in Burma, talking about what God's doing and strategizing. We are constantly looking for more ways to reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So to me, it's both and. I'm not quitting preaching the gospel to be a politician. I'm saying that when Jesus changes us and we live as disciples, that we now have a revolutionary impact on society. So let me just tell you what happened. My heart had been burning for revival for decades, let's just say burning with special intensity for revival from around 1982 until God called me to be part of the Browns revival in 96. And now we were living this out day and night, awakening in the church. Now, I started preaching in 73 and my themes were preaching were similar then, awakening and things like that. But that being said, I have been burning to see revival. I had been for years and years, writing about it, praying, fasting, crying out. Then God put me in the midst of the Brownsville revival, and the lines would form at 6 in the morning, or for the doors to open at 6 at night, for the meeting to start at 7 at night to last till midnight or 1 in the morning. That meant many people were standing there from the time they got there to the time they left the service, over 18 hours. And they came from around the world. They came from all over America. They were radically touched and saved and set free. And our hearts were burning with prayer for awakening in the nation. And in the midst of that, it was 1999. We had done an event in New Jersey. It was an Awake America event where the leaders of the Brownsville Revival would travel out with a team, and we'd do two intensive days on the road. We'd rent a convention center, maybe could seat 8,000, 15,000, numbers in that range. And if I remember the New Jersey one, we must have had around 9,000, 10,000. We do day sessions, teaching, equipping all through the day, and then meetings at night, powerful meetings, lots of worship, preaching, reaching for the lost, reaching for the backslider, seeking to turn hearts to God. And we were in New Jersey. And that night, I got up and spoke. I would teach in the day and then speak briefly at night and mention our ministry school. And then Steve Hill, my dear departed friend, the evangelist, would do the preaching. And then we'd all minister to people, pray for people that came forward. And I'd gotten up that night, and I talked about different ones who've come out of the closet. And I said how we need to come out of the closet. Christians need to come out of the closet. I didn't mean get political. I meant be unashamed. I meant take the gospel on the streets. I meant be bold in our faith. And this one's come out of the closet. That one's come out of the closet. It's time we come out of the closet. I went back to the hotel room that night and put on a TV show. It was a documentary. And it was about the rise of religious fundamentalism beginning in the late 1970s. It was called God Fights Back. It was on the PBS network, public broadcasting. And I was immediately gripped watching it. It began talking about Ayatollah Khomeini in exile from Iran to France, and how his messages made their way back into Iran, and how it overthrew the country and launched the radical Muslim movement. Of course, it's been terribly destructive and taken so many lives. And then it goes over to America, and it shows what's happening in America with the rise of the religious right and different things. And of course, the contrast in fervor between the Muslims and the Christians was embarrassing to watch for our side. Of course, theirs was deadly and fanatical, but still we were a bit too passive. But then I saw something. It was at a Christian rally that was going to be presenting Ronald Reagan. And I saw something that changed my life. I'll tell you about it when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
That's 866-348-7884 to get on the broadcast. So here's what I saw in 1999 on this documentary, God Fights Back, that heavily impacted me. There was a meeting. Ronald Reagan was being announced as the candidate to vote for, without overtly endorsing him. One of the Christian leaders said, we have a threefold mandate: get people saved, get them baptized, get them registered to vote. That was an interesting statement. And then another leader got up. Now remember, I had just said a few minutes ago at this rally in 1999, I just said, this group's come out of the closet, that group's come out of the closet, we've got to come out of the closet. And I hear this leader say, Christian leader, he said, the communists have come out of the closet, the homosexuals have come out of the closet, another group's come out of the closet, it's time we get out of the closet. And I thought, oh my, 15 years later, similar setting, he's got 8, 9,000, 10,000 people there, that's what we've got in our meeting. He's making this statement. And he meant it more in terms of political action, I meant it more in terms of gospel action. Of course, there's intersection between them. But I remember thinking, what are we doing? What are we doing? Same words, same crowds. 15 years later, and everything's far worse today than it was then. That was 1979 or thereabouts, and now it was 20 years later, 1999. And that's when I began to realize we don't just need modification, we need revolution. We need revolution. We need revolution. And that's what's burned in my heart, and that's why I'm on the air as your voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, and that's why we do what we do. I believe deeply that God is stirring hearts. I believe deeply that many will get to that point of enough is enough. I believe deeply that many will come to that point of realizing that the radical cultural transformation we see around us is not what we wanted. And that as much as we want to be tolerant and open and affirming, that things have gone far beyond anywhere that we would have ever asked them to be or want them to be. And therefore, we need radical change. And it's going to come through God's people. And it's going to come through God's people touching every aspect of society, not taking over and forcing everyone to live the way we live, but rather promoting God's ways, which are best, and living out God's ways, which are best, and having the cultural influence that any group of people is allowed to have in our country. We just need to have it with the grace and help and power of God. 866-34-TRUTH. The big question, what's going to spark it? What's going to push us over? What's going to get us to that breaking point? David in Richmond, Virginia, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I really appreciate what you just shared with us. I used to work in the Christian right. I'm a millennial, so I was kind of on the tail end of the whole moral majority movement.
Yeah.
And so I worked for a large organization and later on in Capitol Hill and, you know, was really fired up with, you know, what Reagan had said and with the push for getting involved politically and pushing back culturally. And there came a point in the movement where people just became really disillusioned, I think, both by the response of society at large, kind of reiterating what you're saying, is feeling like we are forcing our views on them. And then also, just became disillusioned with also what you said, is things seem like they're just getting worse, and it really wasn't having much effect. And so a lot of us who were working there kind of trickled out. I ended up becoming a Christian counselor because it was still on my heart to see change in our country and the culture. And my perspective and point of view is that that's got to come through repentance, that that's what's going to spark the revolution. It's what sparks change. It's what God, you know, has shown us in the Bible when other revivals have taken place, is that it was repentance. And whether it's from the leaders who are repenting and showing, you know, the rest of us that we need to, or whether from the people themselves, the, you know, the everyday Christian who starts the movement of just open repentance of where we have fallen short of what God wanted us to do, and where we've let the culture influence us and the parts, you know, the hidden sin in our own hearts and lives. So that's, that's the only way that's going to happen.
Yeah, let me just jump in, because I've got the end of the hour coming up very quickly, but I want to ask you this question. Obviously, we cannot get uninvolved from politics and just say, well, that's secular and let people do what they do. I mean, it's cultural suicide. But having gone through what you went through, do you think that we put that we had a good idea, that we recognized there needs to be morality, the so-called moral majority and all this, and pro-life, this is obviously a very important issue, but that we put too much trust in the political system or in Ronald Reagan, and that was the fatal error, or is it even deeper than that?
No, I do think that that was a large part of it, that we thought that that was, we put too much trust in it and thought that that was how things were going to change. And like you said, that is an important part. God still calls us to, you know, be a part of our, you know, political systems and every part of, you know, society, you know, whatever job that is, whether it's in politics or whatnot, to influence where we can. But that this was something that needed to happen from the inside out, that it wasn't, you know, through politics, this was going to happen through the people of God. You know, what was working in our churches, what was working in our hearts, and not necessarily what was happening at the ballot box, although that is an important part of this, like you were saying.
Right, right. So it's got, it's, the one has to build on the other. Yes, we have political involvement. We vote wherever we can for righteousness. We vote for candidates that will be godly in their moral values and do what's best for the country, security, economically, you know, security and economy. Of course, we do that. But if we think that, that those are going to be the primary agents of change while the church sleeps on, it's not going to happen. David, you're absolutely right. And then the question is, what will awaken us to pray? What will awaken us to repent? And a lot of that has to come from recognizing where we've left our first love. A lot of that has to come from recognizing where we become compromised. A lot of that has to come by getting a fresh revelation of the love of God. And then a lot of it will come as we see such massive cultural degeneration. Then we think, okay, wait, wait, this is worse than I expected. This is more than I ever bargained for. There needs to be radical change, and the awakening begins to come. And that's what we try to spark. Day in, day out, we may cover lots and lots of different topics, but there's always that theme, wake up, turn to God, look at what's happening around us, look at where the church is at, and God's ready to move far beyond anything we know. Ephesians 3 tells us he answers exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or imagine. That's the God we look to. Friends, be sure to visit my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Check out latest article, video there. And be sure to check out the special resource offer. There's a two-minute video. Talk about some really important debates. Check that out on the website. My bottom line today, change begins with you and me individually when we turn to God with all of our heart, soul, and strength, and don't take no for an answer.